Hello, everybody. Talk Radio.
Hello, Derek. How you doing? Hello, everybody.
How are you, Kurt?
Everybody can hear me?
I hear you. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello, Kurt? Hello, Kurt?
Hello,
hello.
Kurt. Hello. Hello.
Yeah, how are you? How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I want to be a life coach. I want to be a life coach.
Yes, I know it, Derek. How's it going?
Good. Yeah, I figured I'd come on with this in.
Great. I'm broadcasting from my mom's house on Cape Cod right now.
Cape Cod, Massachusetts?
Yes.
Yeah.
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 How was your week? Hello, Mary.
Good. Good.
Good. What'd you do?
I sent some more hoop cards out in Messenger.
Yeah, I heard you were kind of somebody really famous.
Yeah, I want to help people have a better life.
Yeah.
I want to help people have a better life.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
So who's your friend, that famous baseball player you met?
Ron's working with him.
Okay.
We could let Ron work with him.
How was your weekend?
Good. How was yours?
Good. I had a good Father's Day.
Yeah. Well, happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you. Thank you. My subject for today is fathers and how they can shape and form your world. In your life, is your father good? Your father has a good person. So does
your
mom.
Yep.
Yep. Well, I just, fathers to me are the most important side of them. Most important because they can bend you and shape you, whatever, into a better person for your life. We did celebrate Father's Day yesterday, and we celebrate the fathers in our lives. And tell me more about your father. How did he shape your life, Derek? Hello? Mary?
Yeah, it's really hard to hear with who's ever got background music going.
I just muted him. It's Derek. So I was just talking about Mom, how our fathers shaped our lives to make us who we are today. And
yes. I only have one slight little argument with you on that.
Okay.
Because you said fathers are the most important. I think
parents are important. I know. I had to re-correct myself. Thank you very much. I said mothers are also very important too. So I corrected myself. Thank you very much for bringing that up, Mary.
Sorry, I didn't hear your correction part.
Yeah. Yeah, I corrected myself. So, But, you know, as you were growing up, there's so many stories that I could tell, and you could tell about your father and how he shaped you and formed you and how he was. My father was pretty good. He had his issues, and but he provided a good home for us, and he also, he always had time for us to go, fishing and playing ball with him and going to New York City for a baseball game. We always had time to do that. But he shaped me into who I am, and I also was influenced by my grandfather, too. He was a very, very wise man, too. So I had both. I had actually two fathers in my life, my grandfather and my father. And today it marks my father's passing 27 years ago. We had really good times.
Yeah. Hi, Kurt. I'm on. I'm Kurt's
mom.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. You're right in the next room.
Yes, I am. I am.
Yeah. I'm lucky to have my son here visiting. How's everybody out there?
In Minnesota, we're surviving the heat for right now.
How hot is it, Mary?
It's almost 90 degrees.
Oh, wow. That's hot. Well, it's cool here. It's about 70.
Good beach day. So, anyway, we're talking about how our fathers for our mothers and fathers, our parents shaped our lives through as we grew up.
I was fortunate because my father wasn't around growing up, which was a good thing because he was not a good man. But
okay.
I was fortunate in the sense that I had my two uncles that stepped up to the plate and took over that role.
Okay.
So I always had a father figure.
And they were there during holidays. They were there during all celebrations and stuff.
They took me hunting and fishing. They were there on my first day of kindergarten. I got sick at school. They were there to help pick me up. They were there as teenage years when the family meets the boyfriend and, scare the crap out of them.
I didn't have to go through all that. My father did tell me one time, some of your friends all show you your sister. And, I couldn't understand what he was talking about. The friends you hang out with are great influences in your life, too. But it's amazing how parents, when you're born, you're almost clay, you ball of clay, and the parents shape you towards what you need, what you are today. And
the fathers that we got to give credit to are the fathers of tough situations and special needs families that stick around and don't just leave when things get hard.
Right.
They ride out the storm instead of splitting and leaving.
Right. Yes. And also, when I was at church yesterday, the minister mentioned also the stepdads. And the very famous stepdad would be Joseph, Jesus' father. He's a stepdad. And, we also have to give them credit for stepping up the plate where they didn't have to do that.
And, you know, you like your uncles. They didn't have to do that, but they did. Because they needed, they saw the need for you to, you know, have a father in your life. And have that in your life to do that.
That's it.
You know, they grow fatherless, and that's wrong. And no child should grow up fatherless or motherless. They have to have that family unit to raise them.
But a lot of people do today with the single moms, unfortunately.
Yeah, but I think that's how the society changed. Because their parents, and they're not blaming the parents, but their parents did not show the responsibility of the children to raise other children. And when they became parents, they couldn't handle the stress of becoming a parent, and they just walked away. And then, you know, it's unfortunate that happened.
We're also in this mindset with the whole, you know, movement of, you know, I'm being a woman, you can do everything yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Without even having the dad in the picture.
Right.
Yeah, that's way back in the 70s when the women said, oh, we don't need a father. We don't need a husband or a man in my life. I can do it myself. And that was the biggest mistake they ever did.
It's still like that now.
Unfortunately, yes. Yeah, it is. But there's ways we could turn it around to show the fathers that don't want to raise the kids. It's okay, you know. You have a support group. You're not going to do this by yourself. And there's a lot of programs out there, but we just have to bring them to that. And it goes right back to the Hope Collection, where Hope Collection, through Lynn Cain, to the Golden Rule Society, has a program for single parents or kids that don't have fathers, that their fathers will go through this educational or schooling to become a good father, and not to be ashamed of themselves because, you know, what they did. It's, you know, so there are programs out there. It's just up to them to take the program. You know, we could lead them to water, but we can't make them drink it. So, you know, when I was growing up, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and they're all family units. So they had the mother and the father. The father provided for the family. And now we don't even have that, you know, unfortunately.
Well, you know, when I left the military and became a mom, me and my husband sat down and decided what the next step was going to be.
Right.
And because we only dated when I was in the military and got married afterwards and found out the day I signed my papers that I was pregnant. And I remember being looked down upon by my husband's family, even some members of his family, because we decided we could, but we couldn't, but we could handle him working and mom stay home. And that's what I did for years.
Mm-hmm.
And now I chose to work from home and build my own business as a coach, working with other families like mine.
Right.
So I could still be home with my kids.
Yeah.
Because to me, that was the most important thing. And it's sad when families can't afford that. But, you know, it should be, if it's an option, it should be considered and be considered okay. And not frowned upon because you're just a woman doing the woman job.
Right, and sometimes the woman puts off their careers to raise children, and when the children are old enough, they can, you know, for example, you, Mary, you probably you're raising the kids, but you're also a life coach, and you're doing that career too as raising two autism kids, and it must be a very great challenge for you and your husband to do that. And it sounds like you have a very great husband that supports you and supports the kids.
He does. He's gotten better. You know, he was
okay.
when my kids were diagnosed, his nephew was autistic,
right.
And he was diagnosed like 20 some years ago before they knew what autism was. So he didn't have the luxury of programs that we have available now. And so he sees that when he saw our son. And once, you know, I developed my program and started showing him the alternative ways of doing things, and he's watching our son progress. And, you know, I have the good COVID story. So my husband was off for a week right around Christmas time, and he had to actually spend a week nonstop with him and see him through a different light. It changed the world for him because he didn't see him as broken. He saw him as a little boy, and ever since then, it's been a completely different relationship.
Yeah, and sometimes you have to, unfortunately, back in the 60s and 70s, we didn't know any kind of educational disabilities for the kids. They were just put in classes with, I hate to say this, but a slower group of people, the kids, that couldn't learn as fast as the other kids. They didn't know that. Now they know, and now they can help the kids. I give a medium. But I think we made great strides, and right now, towards education of the kids, I think what's going to be in the future is going to be homeschooling for the kids. Because the parents,
or
they want to homeschool
the
their own kids.
Because my kids, we do charter school. We go through Connections Academy, so it's kind of homeschool, but it's not. I teach the curriculum. But they give us a curriculum. They give us everything we need. But how you teach it, it's up to you.
Right.
So I get both worlds.
Right. So, yeah. So what you're basically doing, you're molding your children to becoming a better adults when they're old enough to go on their own or into a group home or whatever they want to go to. You're molding them right now. That's what parents do. And now we have a great education system for your kids like that.
Exactly.
They were put in an institution.
They were either institutionalized or they were left at home, or they were just shut in a room with a bunch of other kids just like them and expecting them to learn how to do things.
Right. Yeah, and that's not, you can't do that. The child needs to experience life, and he also needs to experience the parents' teachings, too.
You know, it's like Albert Einstein was autistic, and the school wrote him off as dumb and retarded. Yeah, and his parents never gave up on him, and... Yeah, he never finished school. Same with Winston Churchill. He never graduated from high school.
Really?
Winston Churchill never did? Wow, I did not know that.
A lot of our great leaders and other people that were deemed slow or special or not worth the time.
Right.
Turned out to be geniuses. It's just you have to figure out how they learn. And once you figure that out, it opens the world to them.
Hey,
I have to figure
out. Country boy.
Hi, country boy.
Einstein was the first person that ever said you only get two educations in life, one that the world gives you and one that you give yourself. So even though he was labeled, like my mentor, Les Brown, was labeled as being autistic, they told him that he would never, never be able to learn, that he'd be better off just dropping out of school and go get a job. Now, how many times in your life have you ever heard a life coach slash teacher tell you you'll never grow up to be anything? Now, can you imagine how discouraging that could be coming from a teacher? They told me, country boy, you will never be able to learn at the rate you need to because you talk too much. My learning disability, wasn't autism. My learning disability was my mouth. They say you can't learn if you're talking. So why don't you hush and listen? Yeah. But little did we know, like Les Brown, who did finally graduate with a GED. But if you also understand, they told him that his problem was is he talks too much. But the first speaking engagement that he had professionally, Bob Oakfield confirmed this, was with a little company that didn't even have a whole name. They just gave him three initials, AT&T.
Yes.
AT&T paid Les Brown $362,000 to talk for an hour.
Man,
he makes more money talking in an hour than most people make in 2 years working 40 hours a week on a job.
Right.
So Tony Anthony Robbins, one of the world's greatest motivational speakers, has been paid as much as $700,000 in 1 hour to open his mouth. Now, you can look at it from several different perspectives and say, I'll never be able to do that. Or you can listen to what the other people on the sidelines and say, he'll never be able to do that. Or you could be somebody like Mary and say, I don't care what they say. I can do all things through Christ who will strengthen me. You see what I'm saying? So these things that we've been taught, we've been mistaught, but now it's come to where we're going to have to push to restart, refresh, renew, redo, rearrange button so that we can give ourselves a new education. The miseducation of the people in America is terrible. When we was coming to Kurt, they used to tell us, Kurt, well, you can be anything you want to be in America. You can own your own business. You can be an entrepreneur. You can work at home. You can go to school if you want to, and if you don't want to, you can go online now and get a certification. And careers.com will give you a certification, which is almost better than a diploma because the certification that they give you connects you to only about 56,000 businesses worldwide that's in every category that you could possibly name of. So it's kind of coasting back to a stop. I didn't mean to. I was just kind of listening in because I, too, was one of those people that they label as having a behavior disorder. Well, I had a behavior disorder.
Yeah,
it was right there. But I also was able to spend 12 years of my life in college. I have 7 degrees and 3 masters. So it doesn't matter what they say to you. It only matters what you say to you about you. Mm-hmm. Do you say, I can do all things, or you say, oh, I'll never be able to do that? Back over to you, Kurt.
Exactly. And that goes right back to your family and your bringing up with, you know, like I said, I've had basically two fathers. My grandfather He gave me a great advice through my life, and also my father did. And going back to you, country boy, yes, we have to refresh ourselves sometimes and say, okay, can you do this? And of course, you can do anything you want, but you have to be educated to it. And you know, and people have this mentality. Maybe they had bad parents, and the bad parents kept on saying, hey, you can't do this, you can't do this. And that's what they bring all their life. But then maybe somebody comes around in their life and say, hey, you can do this. And he will say, oh, no, my parents said, my parents said I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it.
Now, let me stand in the gap, too, for some parents across America,
mm-hmm.
both male and female. Now, I'm also speaking from an Afro-American male perspective, because they've had us labeled MIA for years, because most of the fathers in America in the Afro-American sector don't live at home. They live in jail,
right.
which means that they're MIA, they're missing
it. Why?
Yeah. Oh, I could spend the next hour talking to you about how the system in America is set up.
Give me five minutes.
Okay, let's just say, for argument's sake, it's not just a white-black thing, first of all. Let's get that straight.
Okay.
Number two, I understood that God really wanted a family. Okay? Number three is they're trying to desegregate families in America. How do you desegregate something, separate something from what it really needs to be with? Number one, they snatch, and y'all know how it is. I'm not going to go into the naked news on what happens to the Afro-Americans because we sling drugs and hang out on the corner and we shoot our cousins and all that kind of good old stuff. But the system has been designed to extract the Afro-American man from the family, which means that now Mary would have to come step up her game and put on some pants instead of wearing a dress and be the number one provider of the household.
Right.
So what has happened in taking the men down is allowed the women to wear pants and be a little confused about what they can do. I ran our church nursery for 20-something years, but I could tell every Sunday when they bought their children in, if you bought your son in, Kurt, and I was escorting him to the little man's room, if he's sitting down to take a pee, I know that Mary raised him and not you. Well, Christ, Mary don't stand up and pee. She sits down to pee. You cannot do what you have not been taught to
That's
do.
True.
So now here we are trying to raise a world of children with men not doing what they're supposed to do. And, again, we've been beat down enough, but every time you see somebody that did finally make it in the world and they come on national television, what is the first thing that they do? Hi, Mom. They never say, hi, Dad. You get a good job, Father. I appreciate you making me and bringing me into the world. No, they always talk to the mom because the mom is the nurturer. The mom is the connector to you getting whatever education you want. You can be all you can be based on what your mom can provide you. And here's the last part, and then I'm going to stop. The reason I said I didn't want to hurt what I was going to say when it comes down to the family.
Right.
Number one, women have raised America for years with the absentee of men being there. Whether their husbands went off to war, whether they took a job out of the state for the month, and I'll see you next month. My brother works for the Charlotte Department of Transportation for 38 years. He lives in Charlotte, but for the last 7 years, he drives to Raleigh, North Carolina, which is three-hour drive away, and he lives in a hotel from Friday to Sunday while his wife was home raising two sons that thought they were grown. His youngest boy is only 6'5 and weighs 180 pounds, twice his little mom's size. So if the father's not around and she tells him to do something, she tells him with sincerity and hope that he does it. But if he wants to have an attitude or if he wants to man up to his mom and get an attitude, then that she does the best that she can do. So the miseducation is being, number one, the mom's mother nature has been having to do and raise the families. Not everybody, you know, I'm not talking about the whole world, but I'm talking about the cycle now that when they bought drugs into the school system, they said, we're going to take God out. How you take God out of anything? Yeah, but y'all remember the story on how I pledge allegiance to the flag, one nation under what?
Yeah.
You can't say his name anymore in the school without getting in trouble. But you can go around and talk about Hitler, and you can go around and talk about Satan. And you can go around and talk about these other people, but they won't let you say nothing about the divine creator, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one that says, I can heal the nation. So let me just kind of stop right there, Kurt, because I was loving in what, Mary, you were just so influential. You have so much to offer. You have so many different perspectives to show parents, especially female parents, that they can do it. And the last point that I was going to make, what most people don't understand is a person, any person, has to do their very best at that particular time in their life, and the only thing that they can do is the best that they can do. I know my friend James Ingram had a song that said, I did my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough because here I am right back where I started again.
Right.
So we do the best that we can, but we're going to have to step up our game because our best is not good enough anymore. We're going to have to re-educate ourselves. We're going to have to use a different method, a different technology, a different way of teaching our children, and that entrepreneurial spirit that dwells inside of all of us, we're going to have to get it resurfacing without somebody telling you or putting some label on you to tell you that you have a learning disorder and you'll never be able to do that. And you might as well just drop out and get a job and you rob a store and you go to jail and now your life's messed up forever because no one wants to hire you because you're an armed robber trying to get money, which you knew nobody ever told you or showed you how to make.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And that goes right back to having a... Right. That's going back to family. The family organization, with the fathers and mothers. You know, when I first started the show, I said, how did your father mold you into who you are? And Mary corrected me and saying, it's not all the fathers, it's also the mothers. And my mom's on here, and I want to ask her, Mom, when you were growing up, how did your parents mold you?
How did my parents what?
Mold you into who you are now.
They took me to church, to Sunday school, every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And when they couldn't, I took the bus to Sunday school. And I'm so glad I had that experience with religion and learning about Christ and God and the Holy Spirit. And so they were kind of strict, you know. They taught me table manners. You know, elbows off the table. And, you know, sitting at the table, we, of course, didn't have cell phones. I'm 84.
Right.
And so we all sat at the dinner table together and had dinner. And how many times does that happen today?
Zero.
So I had a good childhood.
Good.
In my house, it happened 6 days a week.
Really? You sit
What's
at the
that,
table?
Mary?
Yep, at my house, well, except for my son, we don't force him to sit at the table yet.
Right.
We're just happy
right.
to see him eat what we're making. But
yeah.
mm-hmm.
for the most part, it's 6 days a week that we sit at the table. We have family dinners.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
That is
like...
awesome.
And that's no electronics.
That is awesome.
No electronics.
Yeah.
Nope.
But see,
yeah,
they also taught you before whether we was having salad or tuna or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They also taught you how to, excuse my French, they taught you how to pray. I remember when I first went to college, I went to an all-white college, and they go, why does country boy always close his eyes and pray over his food before he eats it? They just used to tell us, raise the child up the way that you would have him to go, and he
right.
won't depart from it. But they raised country boy up. He went to church every Sunday. Matter of fact, he was teaching Sunday school, but he ended up being an Olympic bomber.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? What did we do wrong? We taught Kurt to work hard, and if you don't work, you don't
mm-hmm.
eat. But Kurt robbed the store. What did we go wrong? See, what happens in the process is a lot of people don't understand this creator that we have who's kind of put this together. The laws of the world says that for every action, there's an opposite reaction. The man you were talking about, Einstein, one of them people, he was one of those people that understood that theory. For every action, there is a reaction. They also told you, if you don't put nothing in, you don't get nothing out. They told you, if you don't work, you don't eat. But see, all those things that they was teaching us when we was in the Old Testament, now we're in the New
mm-hmm.
Testament. And all the stuff that worked in the 60s and the 70s no longer worked. I heard the lady says, when we had dinner, they didn't have to tell you, Kurt, put your cell phone down, Kurt. We're eating dinner.
Nope. 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 They did not.
Jonathan, come down. We're having dinner. Turn the video game off.
Yeah, country boy. When we had Sunday dinner at my grandmother's house in Town Zerber, the television was turned off during the dinner hour.
Right. And you know what's just very disturbing today is you see the young teenager girls and boys walking down the street holding their phone and talking into it, and they're not looking around at nature, and they are probably talking to the person right next door to them.
Yeah.
They have to put their phones down and carry on a conversation with talking.
Yes.
I'm trying to teach my sons now that talking to me is not texting me. I just want you to know your daddy communicates on a different frequency. So if you want me, you hear me say this, anybody that knows country boy says, if you want to talk, did y'all hear that word? If you want to talk, if you want to communicate with country boy, just call him. They got all the buses here in Atlanta, the MARTA bus, that says one call, that's all.
Yeah.
For some reason, they don't talk. They text.
No.
Just text.
They what?
A way of communication, but it's not talking to nobody.
No, it's not.
No, and then when they do talk, they talk like a text. So you can't understand half of what comes out of their mouth anyway.
Yeah, I know.
It's like shorthand in texting. You have to decipher.
Yeah.
They don't even spell the word. They just give you two initials, and you have to guess what it is.
Yeah, I hate that. I have to do a double take on some people do that. Even adults do that.
But if you flip the coin over, they are not scared of anything. They're not being afraid of being bamboozled, backstabbed, taken advantage of. They do business with each other without question marks. You tell me what it costs, and I say, okay, I don't have to negotiate with you like I'm at the jockey mart or the swap meet. They do mm-hmm. things differently, but again, they're not going to survive at the rate they're going if we don't do something differently. There's certain
right.
things about structure. There's certain things about systematically. I heard Lynn Cain say the other week, why are you doing things like that when you got all these people that went before you, to teach you, to show you?
Yeah.
I heard you say just this morning, Kurt, man, if I'd mm-hmm. only knew then what I know now.
Yep.
Oh, wiser. Yeah. You don't get wiser just because you're 22. You was just born yesterday. You got to go through some things. You got to learn by those things that didn't work. There's no such thing as failure in life. There's just the way that you tried to do it and it didn't work. Now you
right.
know what doesn't work. What doesn't work is, Kurt, we talking about that last week too, Kurt. When you become a life coach, Kurt, and you ask
yes.
them for personal questions and analyze where they are in their life
yeah.
and where they want to go, then you say, Kurt will tell you, say something crazy like, well, I'm asking you these questions to kind of get a better feel on how I can
yeah.
assist you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Show me what you're working with, and
yeah.
I can take what you're working with, and with two minds and two heads are better than one, if we think about this thing together, I'm pretty sure that we can come up with a solution to help get you some growth or get you to the next level. And that's what we do.
Right.
You've heard me say over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard me say over and over again that
mm-hmm.
we have surrounded ourselves with the best of the best of the best.
They
have knowledge and expertise in every
mm-hmm.
area in life. And just a reminder, you guys, I keep telling you, but sometimes you have to say things more than one time. If you're running around here and if you're one of those people that's talking about it's a blessing to be a blessing to be a blessing,
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
certainly means that if you could bless yourself and do everything that you needed to do by yourself, then you wouldn't need nobody. You could just wave a wand over
correct.
Yourself and just do whatever you need and have whatever you wanted to have. But if you didn't have a father, you're probably going to be missing something. If you didn't have a mother there, you're probably going to be missing something. If you didn't get a good education, you're probably going to be missing something. But this is where we get a chance collectively to say, just like God says, I love you in your weaknesses. Kurt, have you ever played golf?
Oh, of course.
You know what the first thing they asked me when I walked out on the professional golf course?
Oh, no, what?
I didn't know golf terminology. They called me. The guys that I was playing with had been playing for 30, 40 years and knew everything
right.
about golf. They pulled me to the side, Mary. They wasn't trying to embarrass me. They said, country boy, tell us what your handicap is. My handicap?
My handicap.
I said, what do you mean? He says, tell me the area of your golf game that you're not really good at so we can help you improve where you're weak at. I was thinking,
mm-hmm.
wow, that's very thoughtful of you. I didn't even know the guy. But he walked
mm-hmm.
up to me and says, tell me what your handicap is. Oh, you got autism? That ain't no problem. We can still help you. Mary and I can help you. Tell me you're schizophrenic. Oh, that ain't no problem. I wrote my paper, Kurt, on being bipolar.
Right.
I ran the church nursery for 20-something years, 3 months to 3 years of age. When I'm in there, I'm talking goo, goo, ga, ga, baby, 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 baby. Come on, baby. Come on, baby. Don't cry, baby. Don't cry. But then I graduated to prison ministry, working with ex-murderers, rapists,
right.
thieves. Yeah, you know, the normal people in the world. But I wasn't talking gaga, goo goo, baby. And I went into prison with my pants pulled up. I'm gonna stop right there, Kurt.
Well, country boy, you were like the father figure to those prisoners that they looked up to. I was offered to go to the prison one time through my church to do, spread the word, and I never had the opportunity to, but we visited the prison and we saw the prisoners out there in the courtyard, just received Jesus Christ as the Savior, and they looked at us like we were almost like that we were their parents, and that we are here to give them salvation in their lives. And they were crying, they're bawling their eyes out. It was really emotional, but they looked at us as authority, as like the father that they never had. And as you and everybody else grows older, which I just we have to realize that the generation that is behind us, we need to support. We need to be there for them, and also as in showing their way to Christ. That's the only way we can do it. And with when Lynn came, with that Golden Rule Society, that's a wonderful society to belong to. That will help the single dads and the single moms become great parents to the Golden Rule Society. And we have so much opportunity in the Hope Collection that will change lives for the better. I'm really grateful for my parents and my grandparents that helped a lot in my life. And my, like you said, Country Boy and Mary, that we have to hit the refresh button on the society, because the generation after us, the people who were born in the 2000s or 1990s, they don't even know what direction they're going in. They're like little lost puppies.
Country Boy, I have a question.
Only if you want to know the truth.
I belong to the Methodist Church in Chatham, and most of us are old. We can't get the young people in. Do you have any suggestions?
Several. So one of the things that about, excuse my French for lack of better terms, church folks. When the young people come into the church, for some reason the church wants to play like they're the young people's parent. The first thing that they do to turn those young people away is they point them out, they call them out on the mic, right in the middle of the congregation, and said, we really need for the youth to start doing something.
Uh-huh.
Are you talking about me? Now I'm kind of shy anyway. I'm a terrapin that just climbed up in my shell. I didn't really even want to come to church anyway, and now you're going to call me out in front of everybody and embarrass me and tell me what I should be doing and what I shouldn't be doing. You're not my mom and daddy. Who are you to be telling me? Let me throw one back at you. Without sin, throw the first stone. Young people need to pull their pants up. The young people need to put their phone down. The young people need to pay more attention. The young people need to, do Golden Rule Society simply says, treat other people the way that you would like to be treated. Would you like to show up at church on Sunday morning in clothes that you didn't even want to wear? early in the morning and you don't like to get up early because you like to party and go out, and there's a time for every purpose under heaven, says David, I shall dance before the Lord, but now you're going to go straight to hell if you keep hanging out in them nightclubs. Wow. I was thinking, oh, boy, he went up to pray, and they come back, and they was having an orgy around the fire, dancing around a golden calf, but they didn't have no nightclubs. No. But didn't nobody tell them they was going straight to hell?
No,
they ask me all the time, country boy, who are you? What do you do? I'm just a little nobody trying to tell anybody about somebody that can save everybody. I don't have to have a degree to do that. Matter of fact, I don't even have to go to church. Somebody asked me the other day, country boy, you're a pastor, aren't you? No. You're a preacher? No. Well, where's your church at? What do you mean, where's my church at? You're talking to the church. I am the church.
Yeah.
Wherever I go, I can prophesy. Wherever I go, I can preach in the grocery stores while I'm buying milk at the gas pump while I'm giving the lady a jump start. So what, again, and I think your question was, and make sure I can go ahead and answer it and let somebody else talk with God. 6 or 8 minutes left. Mary, please ask me your question one more time so everybody can hear the question.
My question?
How
do we get young people to come to our church?
Okay. Number one is church is not a location.
Right.
In the Old Testament, a church was a building that we went to every Saturday, Sunday, Seventh-day Adventist, whenever you decide to go there. A church is a learning institution for you to get a better understanding on who your God is. Everybody out there listening, if you want to do yourself a good favor, I sent it out to Lynn Cain, Ron Clayton, Rick Reese, a lot of super friends last week. In 1962, a guy named Paul Harvey was the voice of America.
Yeah.
He had y'all Google it. I want y'all to listen to it. It's called A Letter from God. A Letter from God by Paul Harvey.
He explains
to us that church is not just a building.
Yes.
That we have to take the church outside of the four walls of the church and minister to the lady that looks like she's trouble in the grocery store.
And how do you do that, though?
But see, again, the way that I am able to get to 90%+ of the people that I meet on a spiritual level is, number one, I'm not one of those people that's going to walk up to you and body slam you with Bible scriptures. Matter of fact, if you throw too many scriptures at so many people, the first thing that they're going to do is duck or run. You're not going to get them at all.
Well,
number two is when you're speaking to somebody on a spiritual realm, I always talk to them about something I can talk about without being a Methodist, a Baptist, a Presbyterianist, a Seventh-day Adventist, or any of them people. I talk to them about L-O-V-E. God says, I am that I am that I am. I am the truth. I am the light. And I am love. So every single conversation that I've ever had to get any child, any person interested in not going to a structure, because now a lot of the church was closed down and they moved it online. Mary, you guys see, we've been having church, Rick and I, for 15 years on Monday night. What denomination say for y'all? All of them. When I said Paul Harvey says a letter from God, he explains to us very strategically that a church, a building, is a learning institution based on your background, based on your creed, based on your culture, based on where part of the world you're from. Your religious beliefs might be a little bit different from mine, but it doesn't matter. You can call me about 1,000 different names, 1,000 different tongues. It won't be enough. As long as you call me. We understand there's people out there that want to pray to the world,
yeah.
pray to Mother mm-hmm. Earth. But why do you pray to Mother Earth when you can pray to the person that made Mother Earth? I could preach right. if I needed to, but what do we do to get those people to listen? Don't talk to them about church. Don't talk to them about a location. Don't talk to me about come and go with me. Minister to them right where they are. I mean, one of my biggest ministries wasn't a Bible scripture. It was a little song. Jesus loves me, yes, I know.
Oh, my goodness.
Jesus loves all the little children. Jesus yes. loves you. I had a guy to tell me, I don't believe in Jesus, but he told me, I said, well, look, tell me what's been going on in your life. Zoo, zoo, zoo. And the mm-hmm. next thing you know, he was being shot at. He was being zoo. Wait, whoa, 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 back up, back up. You said the other weekend you was there at somebody's house and somebody was zooming, just started shooting, and you jumped over behind the table and rolled up next to the sofa and covered your head and said, what? Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Wait. I thought you said nobody was there but you. You were talking about help me, Jesus. Who are you talking to? You said you didn't know Jesus. We don't know Jesus until we get in trouble, until we need him, until we want something.
Yeah.
To most people, praying is like a laundry list on what I need God to do for me today.
Yeah.
Can you pay my phone bill? Can you fix my car? You know, my rent's up. My baby's feeling a little sick. My husband ran away. Well, can you help me, help me, help me, help me, help me? Let me show you how to flip the switch on them. Teach them how to be thankful. Teach them how to be the difference between prayer and praise. Real quickly, I'm going to stop, Kurt. Prayer is a laundry list on things that we want God to do for us. And then we have
right.
the audacity to get upset if he don't do it on time.
Right.
My grandmama
yeah.
said he may not come when you want him, baby, but he's always on time. How do we love the youth and to get them to come to church with us? Don't. They're not going to go. They're in a different area. Talk to them about them. Talk to them about how special and unique they are. Talk to them about their DNA, and God only made one of you, and he gave you things that nobody else in the world can do.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where you are. God will meet you right where you are if you never set your foot
mm-hmm.
in a church, baby. God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You don't have to go to church with me, but I sure would like to talk to you about this God of ours, our Father,
yes.
his Father, your Father, my Father, our Father, our Father. Everything that came from the Father came through his sperm. His word is his sperm. He uses the world, the earth, as his womb.
Yeah, 15 seconds.
He says, let there be light, there was. Let there be water. Let there be peace. Let there be anything that we want to minister to our kids, we can minister to them without having to put them inside of a building and tell them what they're doing or not doing, and you should do it like this, or if you don't do it like this, you're going to hell. That's
yes.
not the new way of teaching. That's not
no,
that. We're only scaring them farther away. And then I show up in church and find out that the pastor and the priest and the bishop are sleeping with the kids. I found out the people in the church are embezzling money. I found out that he's sleeping with the usher and sleeping with somebody else's wife. If I was a child right now, a young youth, you couldn't trick me into church. To be truthful, I wouldn't go with you if you begged me to. You might be my mom and make me go to church and tell me if you don't go to church today, country boy, you can't go out to play, but I'm not going over there with all them hypocrites.
Right. We're out of time, guys. I'm sorry. Thank you, country boy. Everybody enjoying the show. I will be back on the 27th of next week. So thank you for contributing to the show. Country, maybe we can have a private conversation with me and your mom. And
Please call me. And I hope that we did help somebody, but no, there's only one God. You can call him what you want to as long as you call him. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He takes up permanent residence in your heart. So right where you is right where your God is, regardless of what somebody else chooses to call him.
Country boy, Kurt and I are going to our Bible study Tuesday, and I'm going to tell them what you said.
Yes, ma'am. And please call me after the call. We need a few more words. 770. And y'all call me, and we'll talk, because we can do a last one. I know we're out of time, you guys. We can do something more with this conversation again next Monday. Write some questions down. It's not Bible study. It's international radio, offering people clarity and offering people hope. Without hope, you don't need your little mustard seed of faith. We hope that you guys have a blessed and winning year, because one good day won't be enough for you. We talk to you guys tomorrow.
And the word is love.
Yeah, the word is love. That's the way you give them, not scare them away.
Yes.